Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
The Lord.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. Two man carb. Jesse Romero, Kyle Clement. Bringing to you Catholic Spiritual Warfare, where you can hear not Hollywood's version, not the Protestant's version, but the truth about spiritual warfare. And this program is so important. I'm going to tell you why, because so many Catholics, they cut their teeth on a lot of half-truths and a lot of basic things that are false. I mean, you have at least a dozen TV series, Dead Files, Haunted Live, Haunted Highway, Paranormal State, Ghost Hunters. And this is where Catholics are getting their information. And so Jesus 911, and we're starting a new program next week on Wednesdays, which is going to be over the top. It's going to be what I would call, I mean, three college units type Catholic spiritual warfare. It's going to be called Liber Christi War College on Wednesdays. We're going to have Kyle and Dan on Wednesdays together talking about high level spiritual warfare. Dan, welcome to Jesus 911. Dan, can you hear me?
Source of all.
Hey, Jesse, good morning.
Okay. Dan, we have a lot of questions from people in the chat, a lot of questions from people in the audience. And I think we assume that people know what we're talking about when we talk about diabolical manifestation or demonic manifestation. So can you give a simple, maybe blue-collar definition of what is a diabolical manifestation? Why does it occur? And does it hurt the diabolically afflicted person that where the manifestation is occurring through? And also, is the demon trying to torment the energumen, the diabolically afflicted, for aligning his will with God's will and trying to seek healing and liberation? And also, another question. These are questions from the audience, so I'm just throwing all five of them at you. Another one is, is it meant to scare the priests and the team during the session?
Okay. It's a multifaceted question. And so let's kind of walk around this whole concept, around this whole area. First of all, the word manifestation term manifestation, meaning a display or a making apparent or a making visible. And so when you talk about diabolical manifestation, then you're looking at a behavior or a circumstance, something observable that gives evidence of the presence of the diabolical. Fair enough with that definition. Manifestation is something that is not subjective, it is objective. And this is a major point, is we want to call things, or typically people call things manifestations, which are not. So let's talk about how the Catholic Church defines diabolical manifestation. And we'll go to St. Charles Borromeo, the Praenotunda of the 1614 Formal Rite of Exorcism, where it talks about the four classic signs of behavior, or four classic things which indicate possession. Again, there are not proofs of possession. St. Charles is very measured in his language. And he said, when you encounter these four things, it is an indication of possession by a diabolical entity. So first of all is the understanding. I think the first point is that the church does have a teaching on this, and it has a very complete teaching on it. Then through experience of exorcists and others, and through the development of Liber Christi protocol, there is a very clear diagnostic parameter. So you're not just guessing. You're not dependent upon someone with, quote, a charismatic gift of discernment or the ability to see. It's not something mysterious. There is a lot more, for lack of a better term, scientific methodology to bring to bear on this. And so the next observation is the diabolical are the most tightly regulated creatures in all the universe. They would have you believe that they operate with autonomy, that they come and go as they will, that they do exactly what they want. And it's not true. Our Lord has relegated them. They do only what they do with permission of our Lord and subject to their fallen nature. So the demon is highly predictable. The human is much less predictable and much more random in their behavior than the diabolical. So with those two reference points, now let's talk about the four signs, if you will, or classic signs of that indicate or that are consistent with possession. And they are the following. Number one is occult knowledge, meaning knowledge of something that there is no way the human would know. For instance, something that had happened that very, very few people knew, the demon would have access to that knowledge if it was a sinful nature. Also, the knowledge of where things are, where the exorcist is at any given time. So occult knowledge, meaning hidden knowledge, the demon has that, and then that is shared with the human or is articulated, spoken through the human. The second one is a term called xenoglossy or knowledge of languages, meaning that the demon has knowledge of a language that there's no way the human could have knowledge of. It will respond to a language. Sometimes, especially if it's a priest, the priest can pray silently and will evoke a reaction from the diabolical. And so it's not knowledge of language. The person will either speak and or understand a language that they don't know in their humanity. The third one is physical attribute that is not consistent with their age, station, or physical capability. This is often talked about as superhuman strength or excessive strength. That's only one small area of this particular sign. More often, it's shape-shifting. It is the movement of bone structure, elongation of limbs, elongation of body parts, or the one's features. And it can be subtle or it can be fairly dramatic. And so that's physiological changes that are not our physiological attribute, physical attribute that is not requisite or not consistent with the person's physical ability. A very small person able to overcome many very powerful people. And then the fourth one is aversion to the sacred, which means that the diabolical will react to a sacred object or a sacred place. Now, not all four signs are requisite. There may only be one sign. Demons are specific personalities, and so not all demons will react to a given saint or a relic or a sacred place or a sacred object. So this is a very fast flyover. So what does it mean, manifestation? A manifestation of one of the four classic signs means that the demon will react in a way that is beyond the human's capability. This is the indication of possession. Often manifestation, diabolical manifestation, is within the person's capability, but is more than what the person would normally exhibit. And so speaking in a different voice, for instance, the person has the ability to alter their voice. And so the demon is using a physical attribute which the human would have or could have. This is a subtle area that is often misdiagnosed. Many times modernly, the Catholic that is suspecting diabolical influence on a loved one, there's such a thing as bad behavior. There's such a thing as a temper tantrum. There's such a thing as anger. There's all these different human behaviors that may or may not be requisite with diabolical activity. Now, easing into your next area, and then I'll stop and we'll go back and pick up any question you might have. But moving into this next area,
let me just stop you there real quick. Some people are asking, when the demon manifests through the person, is it meant to scare the priest and the team during the session, Or is God trying to show the priest and the team something?
It's not an either or. It's both of those things.
Okay.
And so I think that a good way to look at it is if you've ever hunted, well, not hunted, you got direct experience in this. And so let's draw the analogy. Jesse was in law enforcement. He's chasing a perp. He knows that he went down that dark alley. He doesn't have a clear line of sight. He sees a shadow that darts into an alley. And so as he starts into this alley, he pulls his weapon. He has a flashlight. And with the light, he begins to probe the dark corners of the alley. And so as he goes down the alley, he realizes this is a dead end alley. There's no way out. And so he realizes that if he keeps looking, and that light finds that perpetrator or that suspect, he's going to have a manifestation. The suspect is going to become visible to him. So as he steps around the dumpster and shines the light behind the dumpster, illuminating the suspect, now he's got a manifestation. It's evident. So now the question is, will the suspect yield or will he try to overrun the deputy? Diabolical is in the exact same spot. The prayers illumine and light the dark spot. He's exposed. The manifestation now forces him to make a decision. Confront the exorcist or you.
Got it. Jesus 911, good stuff. Two-man car, Kyle Clement, Jesse Romero. Talking about some of the questions from the audience, from the chat room. High-level spiritual warfare, we're talking about manifestation. We'll move into spiritual contracts next. Stick around. Good stuff.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
10-8, reporting for duty, sir. Kyle Clement, Jesse Romero, two-man car, Jesus 911, giving you some Catholic briefings, some Catholic intel, so you all could put this in your toolbox, war bag, lunch pail, gym bag, purse. Take it out there, hit the streets, go and evangelize. Get holy or die trying. We got Kyle Klemmon. Kyle has been teaching spiritual warfare to priests, not only lay people. He actually teaches these courses to priests. He's probably one of the most literate lay Catholics in the world on the topic of healing, liberation, and exorcism. He's one of the instructors for Liber Christo Institute. Go and check out LiberChristo.com, LiberChristo.com, the videos he's made, and just all the information that's at that website for free at your disposal. Kyle, before we move on to what's a spiritual contract, I just want to ask you the last question. When we say that God allows a demon to manifest to show the priest and the team something, what does that mean? Fill in the blank.
Okay. Just a short point. It's LiberChristo.org instead of .com, .org.
Yeah. All right.
And so the demon manifests is not because he wants to. It's because he's forced to. And so within the manifestation, in the same way that suspect is going to remain behind the dumpster until you shine the light on him. Once you shine the light on him, he's got to do something, either yield or combat. And so anytime the demon manifests, it's going to give up some intel on who he is, what he's about. And so by the same way, when that light shines on him and that suspect stands up, in a moment, you're going to make the decision whether he's going to run or whether he's going to go to his knees, whether he's going to yield. And no matter what he does, he's giving you intel. He's giving you information about himself, how he got there, what he's carrying, what he's about. And so that manifestation is not the first choice. It's the demon is forced to do it, because every time he manifests, he gives you information. And then a book begins built on this. You know, you begin to build a book. If you chase a suspect once in a neighborhood, you know what he's going to do. The second time, third time, fourth time, and he becomes very, very patterned. And the diabolical are extremely patterned, and they're going to react exactly the same way. So Beelzebub reacts the same. The only difference is that Beelzebub manifests in a 35-year-old Swedish man is different than Beelzebub manifest in a 45-year-old Hispanic woman. Why? Because the human's different. The demon's the same. But how he's acting on the human adapts the personality of the human, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They use people's personality. And, that makes complete sense. Kyle, let's move on to something else now. You've used the term in times past. Well, not actually. I think Father Ripperger uses it, and a lot of people in the chat and on emails that listen to Father Ripperger's lectures on YouTube. Which, by the way, I just want to let the audience know, if you're listening from Kyle Klemmon, I can tell you this right now: he's been taught this, he's learned this from Father Ripperger, because this is Father Ripperger's right hand man, literally, at Liber Christu and at SMD. And so what you're hearing right now, everybody right now, this is a gift to the church. You're basically hearing Father Ripperger speak through Kyle Klemmon, because the theology, the spiritual warfare theology, is exactly the same. And Kyle is his number one student. So Kyle, Father Ripperger uses a term called spiritual contract. What is a spiritual contract? What does this mean? And how does it apply to us as lay Catholics?
Okay. This is an area that's misinterpreted quite a bit. And I want to go back. I'm not correcting Jesse at all. That's not what I'm doing. But with regard to my relationship with Father, is both of us were involved in this ministry, then came separately, then came to working together. Of course, Father is very definitely the superior. But what resonates through this is truth. It's not this way because Father says it's this way. It's not this way because I say it's this way. It's this way because it's the way it is. And so truth is truth. Jesse speaks truth. Dan speaks truth. I speak truth. And it's not because we all got together and rehearsed it and said, okay, when this comes up, we're all going to say this. the continuity and consistency that you're finding in our answers is the faith, and it's truth. It's not agenda. It's not opinion. The demon is not engaged in speculative theology. He will either yield or he will not yield. And so this is functional theology. So now to apply that to what Jesse's saying about spiritual contracts is, in a very narrow sense, what a spiritual contract is it attaches a significance, a spiritual significance to a temporal action. What does that mean? A temporal action meaning, when I do this, that's a temporal action that has a spiritual consequence. I cannot separate, and this is one of the observations with regard to yoga, I can tell you that I am simply doing this for the exercise. How ludicrous. It is a physical action that has a spiritual consequence. It has a spiritual consequence because it's universally recognized as the signum crucis, the sign of the cross. And what goes with it is an invocation of the Trinity. And I can't separate those things from that movement. And so that is an implied contract. It's implied through usage. So that if I see someone do this, no matter the context, then it has a meaning. So we'll go back to the alley for just a moment. If Jesse shines the light on the suspect cowering behind the dumpster, and as soon as the light hits him, the suspect does this, then Jesse's going to have a whole different reaction than if the suspect raises his middle finger.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Wow. That's a good analogy.
And so there's a temporal action that has a spiritual consequence and a meaning. So what spiritual contracts are, it is the calling to mind, it is the articulation of the things that we do that have a spiritual consequence, and it can be the attachment of a spiritual consequence to a specific action. For instance, the clearest example of a spiritual contract is an indulgence, which says that if I meet these requirements, then an indulgence is granted and may be used to give refreshment to souls in purgatory. It may be given to the Blessed Mother. But my action, my temporal action, my saying the prayers, my going to confession, my fulfilling the requirements, the physical requirements, has a spiritual value. And so the clearest example of a spiritual contract is an indulgence, or a sign of the cross, or a genuflection, or this is a tangible thing now because of my physical action. It now has a tangible value, a spiritual value. And so if I say, every time the demon inflicts upon me an upset stomach, then I am going to apply that as atonement for my sins and reparation for others who have adversity to the sacred. Or if I do not want to suffer this day, if I'm trying to get rid of suffering, then I'm offering that fear in reparation. And so that's a spiritual contract. What it says is my physical reaction has this spiritual consequence. This turns the tables on the diabolical, because if the demon is afflicting you, causing physical pain, and now you are saying by contract it has a spiritual benefit, the demon will definitely quit. Because if what he's doing has salvific value.
Give an example of that. Put some meat into that. Put some meat on the bone.
Okay. Every time that I do not want to pray, I'm going to pray in my will, and I'm going to offer the adversity, I'm going to offer the struggle to help all those other people who are struggling with the same thing. I'm going to fast for those who are not strong enough or unwilling to fast. I'm going to suffer for those who are unwilling to suffer or unable to suffer. That's the meat on the bone. My sister-in-law who hates my guts because I married her brother, then I'm going to offer my love for her brother as love for her. The curse, to turn it around and send it back with a blessing. These are all forms of spiritual contract.
What's that prayer that I heard you say one time, you and Dan, you always use it, Real quick, what's that prayer of sending back a curse to somebody? How does it go down, Kyle?
Okay, if I've got a sudden onset headache, my head suddenly is pounding. Lord, if this is of you, I gladly accept it, and I join my suffering to yours for the salvation of all, mine included. If this is not of you, may it be sent back from where it came, increased tenfold, and replaced with a blessing. So if this is someone sending a malefice on you, then you're sending back a blessing. St. Paul's language, this is heaping hot coals on their head. That's a spiritual contract.
Ah. And the other side, the dark side, do they also do spiritual contracts?
Absolutely. It's called a malefice. A spiritual contract is called a malefice. And so if I fork the evil eye at you, if I give you any of those demonstrative curses, but it's going to have to have a physical action with it. This is why this movement has a physical action, and now it's a cursing action, in the same way that the blessing action has a physical action. It's that physical movement. What we do with our bodies has a spiritual consequence. It's built upon that premise.
Okay. So as we move on to the next topic, give a short, succinct, you gave the theology of it. It was brilliant. For the audience, they're saying, can Kyle give a short two-sentence definition of what is a spiritual contract?
A spiritual contract is attaching a spiritual meaning to a physical act, a temporal act. In other words, putting an eternal consequence to what happens in the here and now. And we do this subconsciously when we say, Blessed Mother, I offer the merits of this rosary for my cousin Bob, for his conversion. That's a spiritual contract. And so what you're doing is you're doing a physical action with for an intended consequence. You're attaching an intended consequence with that.
So, like you said, indulgences are the classic example of a spiritual contract. Catholics, this is part and parcel of Catholic theology for the last 2,000 years. Just people never knew that it had a name to it, correct?
Correct. I think so. And so what this language of contract is the bringing or modernizing, if you will, of our understanding that what we do, everything we do, is either ad orientem or...
Got it. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jesper Merrick, Kyle Clement, high-level Catholic spiritual warfare. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back. Tough questions for Kyle today. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory, Psalm 148. Jesus 911, Catholic Spiritual Warfare. This is a very unique show. It's probably one of the only shows in the country, if not the world, that deals with spiritual warfare, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we're going to start bumping up our game here, because starting next Monday, Kyle and Dan will be on the rotation. They're the instructors, two of the top instructors at the Liber Christo Institute. And then on Wednesdays, we're going to have both of them on. And because both of them are going to be on Wednesday starting next week, it's going to be called Liber Christo War College Situation Room, where we're going to be going through high-level spiritual warfare. Like on Mondays, with Kyle and Dan as they alternate, we'll be going through micro stuff like this. This is the micro stuff, people's questions. People want to know the minutiae of spiritual warfare. But on Wednesdays, we'll be giving you the tactics, the strategy, the battle plan. Kyle, on page 21, I'm holding up the book here. You're very familiar with this book. It's called Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity. I think it was put out by Father Ripperger. On page 21, there's a prayer which reads, it says, quote, I bind and render helpless any spirits affecting me. And then it mentions several spirits. It says spirits of never and ministering spirits. The other ones are pretty obvious, you know, what type of demon they are. But the question is, who are the spirits of never? That's the first question. And number two, who are the ministering spirits that it's referred to in that prayer? And because the confusion from the person who sent the email, and it's a good question. There's, you know, ministering spirits are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So the ministering spirits in Hebrews chapter 1:13, these are angels. So my question is, are the ministering spirits mentioned in page 21 of the deliverance prayers under the longer form of binding prayer? I told the person that emailed, I said, I believe it's a reference to the fallen angels who were once upon a time ministering spirits. I'm not sure if that was a proper answer. Can you clear up the confusion?
I'll certainly try, Jesse, and let's go back, because this gives you an idea. Your first question discussed the spirits of never, and it's a broad category, but essentially what it amounts to is the spirits of futility. They militate against the theological virtue of hope. And so what it means is things will never change. Things will never get better. This whole concept of never diminishes the omnipresence, omnipotence of God. And that is God, through God, all things are possible. Through Christ, all things are achievable. And so it's that possibility, achievability, and then the actual functionality of charity. And so what never does is it is this whole concept that God is somehow not omnipresent, not omnipowerful, and that the demon can overcome him in a particular area or a particular way. The only way that the demon can overcome God is through the human will. Wow, what a statement. Let's unpack that for just a second, because it gives you this indication. The most operative force in the universe, operative, not powerful, the most operative force in the universe is human will. God honors it. Even when we use it against creation, when we use it against him, he still honors it. And so it's most operative. And so what the diabolical seeks to do with the spirit of broad category never is a spirit of futility, which says God is not capable of all things. He certainly is, but it's with our compatibility, it's our conformity of will. It's not that we're more powerful than God, it's that God allows us this free will. So this moves into ministering spirits and our understanding of ministering spirits. I think your scripture, aren't all spirits ministering? And then the definition of ministering, which is to aid in our salvation. I think that's key to look at. Your observation and your answer to the listener was exactly right, is that all angels were created mission specific to aid in salvation. When those angels fell, they retained their zeal for their mission, their orientation for their mission, but now they seek to pervert the glory of God. But because God's will is the most powerful in the universe, then their fallen will and action is used for his salvific good. Follow that? So let's go even a little deeper. Saint Ignatius, discernment of spirits. When the soul is headed towards sin, the good spirit bites and afflicts. This is our conscience. This is our guardian angel saying, no, no, don't do that. That's not good for you. But, says St. Ignatius, when the soul is headed towards sanctity, the evil spirit bites and afflicts and seeks to pull away. So the ministering spirit, whether it's working for the good or for the bad, is still a ministering spirit. And in the context of the prayer on 21, it is protect me from ministering spirits. In other words, protect me from those evil spirits who are giving me comfort in my sin, who are affirming me in my sin. The evil spirit that is within me wanting to retain the unforgiveness that says, you, what's happened to you is unjust. You are justified in holding a grudge. You are justified in being angry at God. That's a ministering spirit in that it's bringing a comfort, but it's a false comfort. It's a diabolical comfort. Does that make sense?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So my answer was correct to the person who that's what I said. I said these ministering spirits were once good angels, now they're demons, but they still have the same attributes of ministering. Obviously, they're doing it for Team Satan this time instead of doing it for Team Jesus.
Correct.
Yeah,
the most common ministering spirit you're going to encounter is the spirit of effeminacy, meaning to take the easy route, to take the softer route, the softer response. And it works on your masculinity in the following way. No one appreciates you. You need some me time. Is that a ministering spirit? If that spirit had remained an angel, he would be saying to you, man up. Here's where sanctity lies. Here's where honor lies. Here's where valor lies. Here's where chivalry, chastity, and all the positive attributes of masculinity lie, is in engaging the arduous. But now as the diabolical ministering spirit, no one understands you. You need me time. You need to spend time doing this video game or playing this thing or doing that thing. You can step out of vocation. You don't have to be a spouse 24/7. So we hear the language. Had he remained an angel, this ministering spirit, he would have been augmenting your will. He would have been strengthening your will. He would have been that voice that says, man up, it's hero time. And then the demon says, it's okay, relax, it's zero time.
So demons are also ministering spirits, but they're ministering you obviously in a life of vice and in a life of sin and debauchery. You know, Kyle, that reminds me of, I live here in Phoenix, Arizona. It makes me sad as I'm driving on Sundays and going to Holy Mass. And I got a secret. I haven't missed Mass on Sunday here. That's in Phoenix. Haven't missed Mass here. But as I'm driving to Holy Mass, and there's a lot of golf courses in the Phoenix Valley, it's full of men. And they're there all day. That's a classic effeminate spirit, where these guys are saying, I'm going to get up, I've worked hard all week, and I'm going to go and enjoy time with the guys and play golf. You know, to heck with my wife and the kids if they want to go to church. That's on them. They can do so if they want. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to drink and just tee off with my friends. When I look at that, and I see a lot of women by themselves without a man at church, at the different parishes with their kids, that to me is a classic demonic spirit that's ministering to these men, to the soft side of them, and saying, you know what, man, take the easy route. You've worked hard all week. Leave that to your wife and kids. Is that an example of a ministering spirit moving men towards effeminacy?
I think it's a classic example. Luciferian language begins with you deserve or I deserve. That's the Luciferian mantra, and it begins right there. I think that you open up a topic that we would do well to really think about. In Egypt, God clearly demonstrated his power over the other gods, or the false gods of the Egyptians. And I think that God has spoken through this pandemic and vanquished the citadels of worship of the false gods, which were the shopping malls, the sports stadiums, the golf courses. All of these things were shut down. And I would propose to you that every man, every soul observes the Sabbath. And wherever you spend the Sabbath, that is your God. You are spending Sunday in the proximity and in the company of your God, whether that's golf, whether that's shopping, even if it's family. Family can be a false God. And so the Sabbath is the Sabbath is the Sabbath. You tell me where you spend your Sunday, and I'll tell you what kind of man you are.
That makes sense. Kyle, reminds me, I remember my revelation class from Dr. Scott Hahn at Steubenville. I remember he taught that. I'll never forget this. This is 20 years ago, and it's still like that was yesterday. He says, the human person, Adam and Eve, were created on the sixth day of creation along with the beast, alongside the beast, same day. He says, but the difference between a man and the beast is that man was created for the seventh day. We were created to enter into Sabbath worship, into Sabbath rest with our God, who's Father, Son, and Spirit. If a man refuses to enter into the seventh day, he remains in the sixth day, and he will act like a beast, and he will manifest beast-like existence if he never enters into Sabbath worship and adoration with God. I found that pretty fascinating. Jesus 911, we'll be right back. Two-man card, Jess Romero, Kyle Clemens.
Hands on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, Jess Romero, Kyle Clement, two-man car, Catholic spiritual warfare, taking Catholic spiritual warfare questions from the audience, and Kyle's just hitting grand slams here. Kyle is, again, I would probably say the most literate lay Catholic that I've ever met on Catholic spiritual healing, deliverance, and warfare. And he's the go-to guy. Kyle, I got another question. I just want to move on. We got a question from the audience. This will be an entire show because I don't want to give a small soundbite. The question is, how do we know if someone speaking in tongues by the lady is good or evil? That'll be another show. That'll be a whole show in itself. I don't want to give a quick soundbite. I would just say this real quick about speaking in tongues is the least of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I think a lot of people, they put it at the top of the rung of the ladder. It's actually the least of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a charismatic gift. And one of the things that we should be careful for is that demons can, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that they seek to emulate is speaking in tongues. But Kyle, here's another question I have for you. There's all these ghost hunter teams on television, and they televise their activity. They go into these, what they would call haunted houses, what we as Catholics would call infested houses. They go in there with cameras. They go in there with these tape recorders and all these other gadgets. Assuming they're baptized Catholics or maybe even baptized Protestants, assuming they're baptized Christians, what's wrong with what they're doing from a Catholic perspective? And have you ever had any cases of diabolical affliction from a person that's involved in this activity? And would you say that they're putting themselves in harm's way?
The answer to all of those questions is yes. And so to the three questions that I heard. First of all, is the understanding, I guess the we always look for the premise. What is the main premise that is at fault or faulty premise? And the faulty premise is this places the emphasis on the fallen, on the diabolical, rather than on God and the sanctified. We see this epitomized when we have even Catholics who promote themselves as demonologists or as experts in demonology, in the fallen angelic. And so the whole point of that is that it puts the emphasis in the wrong place. It puts the emphasis on the creature rather than on the creator. Because remember that anything that's being observed, anything that's being quantified is creature. It is not creator. And so it's this elevation of phenomenon that our Lord is allowing, and it's for the glory, and it's essentially glorifying the creature, not acknowledging the creator or how and why this is occurring. It's also a misuse. It's actually an abuse, if you will, and it's a diminution of the dignity of the creatures, those that are afflicted, if they're souls. Purgative souls. It's a fixation on this phenomenon rather than drawing us to our Lord and to our Creator. And so that's the general flawed premise. Now, have we had cases? We've had multiple cases, and they tend to be pretty nasty. They tend to be nasty in that there's a lot of physical discomfort. The equipment is infested. Oftentimes the equipment has to be destroyed or is destroyed by the diabolical entity, which traffics in the media, which traffics in this equipment. And so what we find is that when people become fascinated or fixated, remember that St. Thomas identified curiosity as a vice, not a virtue. The virtue, the correct daughter virtue, is studiosity, which means to learn those subjects under obedience, which are requisite to our station in life. I, as a husband and a father, have no need to know the things intimate to the diabolical. And so we become fascinated with things. When we become fascinated, St. Thomas says what curiosity does is it diminishes the use of the intellect in a right and ordered purpose and right and ordered way, is to use our intellect to know, love, and serve our Lord. Do you know everything there is to know about the Lord? Have you exhausted all the information? Have you amassed all there is to know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His Father, God the Creator, and the Holy Spirit? Have you exhausted that Trinitarian wealth? And if so, then you might have the time to explore the creature a little bit rather than the Creator. So that's the observation from the second level. But yes, those cases are nasty. They're very tenacious, very hard to get away with or get free from, and it all is built around curiosity. One of the things to remember about the difference between the angelic paradigm or the angelic realm and the diabolical realm is this. When God created an angel, when He creates an angel, the angel is created mission specific. In other words, your guardian angel knows everything there is to know requisite to His mission, which is your salvation, to aid you in your salvation. He may or may not know any specifics with regard to my salvation. Our two angels don't visit. They don't say, hey, what about that Jesse? What about that Kyle? They don't visit because they're fixated on the Lord and leading our souls to the Lord, helping us to achieve eternal life. And so everlasting life. And so that's the focus of the angel. The diabolical, on the other hand, is focused on denying or doing what it can to thwart us achieving everlasting life. And so their intellect was fully formed, knowing all they needed to know for their mission. So what happens is when the angel bumps up against an area that he doesn't know, he sees, recognizes this as a boundary and is not regretful or finding fault with God or doesn't in any way have any curiosity wanting to know, why don't I know that? And so that angel is very content because that's the way God created him, and he's content with his faculties. The diabolical, on the other hand, when they rebel, they have now an insatiable need to know. They will consume tremendous amounts of energy on anything and everything, and the people that they afflict adopt this same disposition. They consume ridiculous amounts of energy on topics which are irrelevant to their salvation.
Kyle, that's why I tell people that ask questions such as this one that Catholicism is Christ-centered. It's not demon-centered. So we have to remember that spiritual warfare, Catholic spiritual warfare, is Christ-centered. It's Christological. It's not demon-centered. And it's a dangerous thing, especially if you're not in a state of grace, especially if you're not pursuing the higher things, knowing as much as you can about God and those things and salvation and holiness. If all you're doing is spending your time fixated on the demon, that's a morbid curiosity that's going to get you in trouble. Kyle, just a kind of a personal question. What's your favorite prayer it's like your go-to prayer maybe throughout the day? Because you're doing this at a high level, you're doing this constantly. What do you do to protect yourself? What's that go-to prayer that said, "Man, it's time, boom," and you go right to it? Which is the one that you go to?
Now, it's going to sound trite. It's going to sound simple, but it is the weapon that is most worn in my belt, and that is the Ave Maria, the Hail Mary. Because any prayer that starts with an angelic salutation to the Queen of the Universe, we would do well to pull that weapon out. And so if I sense any kind of diabolical, any kind of temptation, even any kind of movement that would even hint of despair, is Hail Mary full of grace. And it's those words of Gabriel. You can imagine our Blessed Mother at the well in Nazareth. His shadow, Gabriel's shadow, falls on the courtyard. She sees it. She turns. And there's this encounter between the angelic being who gazes into the eyes of his queen and salutes her, "Hail Mary. Hail you through whom all grace will flow." And if I can project that into the cosmos, then the diabolical immediately, I've just punched him in the nose because I've shown him his queen and I've shown him an angel giving right relationship. And so it's just that little short pop to the nose and say, look, you cosmic trash, here's your queen. Here's the exemplar of your race, your species, your order, the angelic. Here's Gabriel doing what he's supposed to do. What are you about? What are you doing? I'm on to you. It's that look. It's that you had that look when you were a cop. You had that look. You'd take the shades down. You'd look over the shades. And that baggy pants gangster on the corner melts because you give him the cop look. And so Hail Mary is that faithful Catholic look upon the cosmic trash that preys upon our weakness.
Awesome. Hey, by the way, if you want to catch more of this, you know where to catch this here, Monday through Friday here, Jesus 911. Also, Kyle and myself, we're going to be presenting a spiritual warfare online conference. Put this in your social media. Spiritual warfare online conference. It's going to be called Terms of Engagement. I'll be presenting. Kyle will be the main presenter. It's going to be June 6th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's a Saturday, June 6th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can register at libercristo.org, libercristo.org. Get the word out, especially all you people on the chat. If you want to catch an 8-hour, high-level spiritual warfare online conference, it's called Terms of Engagement. Go to libercristo.org, libercristo.org. That's going to be Saturday, June 6th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'll be presenting. Kyle Clement will be presenting. And make good use of your Saturday, especially if you're locked down in a lot of places around the country. If you're still locked down, get the word out and say, hey, this is a good investment of your time. Kyle, good stuff. We'll be doing this again until the second coming of Christ, God willing. Thanks very much for everything you're doing for Holy Mother Church. And God bless you and everybody at Liber Christo. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Yep.
Go ahead, Kyle. Thank you. Encourage everyone to go to LiberCristo.org.
Got it. LiberCristo.org. All kinds of good spiritual warfare information on that website, LiberCristo.org. If you like this show, if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button and share this show with others. I think it would be a big benefit to a lot of Catholics. So again, hit the subscribe button, share this show with others. Kumantar, we're off duty, 10-7. But remember, up next, Gary Matuta, stick around. You don't want to turn that dial. Gary Matuta, hands-on apologetics. But spiritual warfare will continue. And this channel, same Christ time, same Christ station. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.